Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, July 20th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book and we're on page 52, the fourth paragraph, The Wright Brothers' Almost Childish Faith, through one paragraph ending, who had insisted the Wrights would never fly, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Mary P., 12 Traditions, Debbie P. The readers of the text, Alex K., Wendy M., will read page 164, and our backup reader is Penny L. C. The reference number for Sunday, July 19th, is 23,645. That's 23645. And for this morning, Monday, July 20th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,646. That's 23646. Our newcomer greeter this morning is to be announced, and also Shelley E. will be doing the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary P. And I'll now ask Debbie P. to please read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, this is Debbie P. in South Florida. The 12 Traditions. Number 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group consciousness. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those who serve, to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 52, fourth paragraph, The Wright Brothers' Almost Childish Faith, through one paragraph ending, who had insisted the Wrights would never fly. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'm now going to ask Alex K. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Alex.
Thanks, Dawn. Hi, everyone. I'm Alex K., compulsive eater in California, giving a reprieve for today. The Wright brothers' almost childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. Without that, nothing could have happened. We agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. When others showed that God's sufficiency worked with them, we began to feel like those who had insisted the Wrights would never fly. For a long time, my answer to my problems was always me. Try harder, exert more willpower, figure it out with my thinking, make resolutions to change. And those things might have worked in other areas, but not with this disease. They didn't help at all. Self-sufficiency, which I learned growing up was all I could depend on, can't solve my compulsive eating problem. In fact, it gets in the way, because if I'm convinced that I can solve it, this problem, or should be able to solve it, I'm not open to any other solution. I kept trying and failing, yet I thought it was just a matter of me trying harder or thinking of a better approach. I was as skeptical of the God idea, God's sufficiency, as many were of the Wright brothers' idea. A lot of people at that time said their flying machine could never fly, that was impossible. Yet it did fly, planes are commonly used and do for us what we can't do for ourselves. I can't fly across the country on my own, but on a plane I can. When I finally conceded that maybe there's something to the God idea, that maybe there is a power greater than myself who could restore me to sanity and help me with my compulsive eating problem, my spiritual journey began. I was able to slowly, gradually develop and nurture a relationship with my personal higher power. Now I have a strong connection with this loving, compassionate spiritual guide, always with me, who I can rely on to help me in every situation. I never thought that would happen. I would have said, that's impossible. I'll never have a relationship with a higher power. Yet it happened, and I've experienced other miracles that I thought were impossible. My food obsession and compulsion have been removed. And that's just the beginning. There have been many other miracles along the way, and they keep happening. My higher power doing for me what I could never do for myself. And the idea of miracles was something else I scoffed at, along with the God idea, but I sure believe in them now because I've experienced them and seen them in others, and each time it strengthens my faith and shows me that my higher power can handle any problem or challenge. I know without a doubt that whatever life brings, we can go through it together, and that's a very comforting feeling, knowing I'm always safe and protected and taken care of. Thanks, everyone. I pass.
Thank you so much, Alex K. Great way to get us started there. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Heather Y. from Texas.
Teresa A. from New York.
Heather.
Jackie D.
Okay, Heather Y. And was that, who was that from New York?
Teresa A.
Teresa
A. as an
A.
apple.
All right, from New York.
Jackie D., Massachusetts.
Was that Jackie D. from Massachusetts?
Yes.
Perfect.
Yes, thank you.
Deborah G., Arizona.
Deborah G., Arizona. Okay. I have Heather Y., and I believe you said from Texas, but you can correct me when you share. Teresa A., Jackie D., and Deborah G. So, was there someone I missed? All right, let's go ahead and start with Heather Y., followed by Teresa A. Good morning, Heather.
Good morning. Thank you, everybody, for leading and facilitating and for being here. My name is Heather Y. I am from Texas, and usually I don't get to share on this meeting, so what a delight it is to be with y'all today. And this paragraph, I think, I mean, every paragraph in this book is so powerful, but particularly these words of self-sufficiency. That's such a big fancy word, and I always justified with, oh, I'm not self-sufficient. I know I'm supposed to depend on God. I'm one of those strange people. It took me a while when I got here because I felt like I didn't belong because I loved God when I got here, and or I thought I did, rather. I just couldn't do this food thing. I couldn't figure it out. Well, little did I know that I hated God inside, but good girls aren't supposed to say that or feel that. And many fellows have told me, plus my sponsor consistently says, food addiction is the good girl disease because it's a socially acceptable addiction. So eating disorders, food addiction, this was the only way I could give God the middle finger and still be nice and compliant and the perfect princess and smiling and all the things that I was quote unquote supposed to be. So this paragraph really scares me because my denial and self-sufficiency and really God hatred was dug so deep, and I couldn't even see it until a few years being here. And all the while I was thinking, well, step two doesn't apply to me. But deep, deep down, if I didn't see it, if I couldn't feel it, I didn't trust it. But I acted like I did. So this
this whole paragraph really scares me, and I admire the Wright brothers for just being so honest. And what does it say? The childish faith, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith. They just said, here we are. We think we can do this. We're going to go for it. And what a beautiful picture. Because when I got here, again, the lies were hidden so deep, I couldn't even see them, much less admit them. And they just admitted where they were and were willing to try it. And here we are, like this paragraph says. I mean, air travel is a foregone conclusion. So, and self-sufficiency, it's a fancy word for just saying, I can figure this out. I can do it. I can do it myself. If it's to be, it's up to me, which was my life motto before getting here. But when I got here, I just thought the whole chapter, we agnostics, didn't apply to me, and I felt left out because other people, lots of people come here hating and not even wanting to admit a higher power. That wasn't my story. But thank you, everybody on this line. Y'all have taught me I do belong here, and I'm just so grateful to be here. And I was an agnostic without even knowing it, and I probably still am to some degree. Thank you, and that's all that I'll share today. So thank you for letting me share. The end.
Thank you so much, Heather Y. from Texas. Teresa A., it's your turn, followed by Jackie D., and just a quick reminder or to let people know if you're just joining us. On page 52, we're talking about in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the fourth paragraph, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith through one paragraph ending, who had insisted the Wrights would never fly. So we're commenting on this one paragraph today. So Teresa A., please share with us, followed by Jackie D.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Teresa A. I'm calling from New York. I'm so glad to be on, and this is my very first time sharing on any vision meeting. So, yeah, this is big. I'm feeling pretty desperate. And this paragraph really speaks to me. Last night I had a really long talk with my sponsor, and it really it was really about, you know, what can I do? You know, what do you think you should do? And so we listed a plethora of things that I could do. And then I finally just stopped and said, I can do until the cows come home, but I think I'm supposed to have a spiritual experience. Never mind a spiritual awakening. And I think that might be one of the things that's just holding me back. I just keep thinking, if I listen more, if I get on another meeting, if I, you know, do many 10 steps in a day, if I just keep doing, and that's all about me, self, and that I can do it. And it's also about that section in the big book about knowledge, like self-knowledge or just any kind of knowledge. And I keep thinking, if I read more, if I read Drop the Rock, if I read the second one about the ripples, step 10, if I, you know, what else can I do? And yeah, I don't know. I think I just need to keep it small. I don't know what I need, but I'm talking to God as I'm outside walking, and I'm thinking, keep it small, make every decision one that the higher power makes, even down to, should I go to this next meeting? And be still, just do the best I can in each 24-hour period. I'm absent today. I've been absent the last 3 days, and that's good. But I seem to take my will back when something good happens, when I get a moment when I'm alone, when I'm bummed. I just keep taking my will back. So I think I'm in step 1, 2, 3, and I'm just going to take it slow and steady and get out of my head as much as I can and into spirit. So thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Teresa A., for sharing with us from New York. We love hearing new voices and so appreciate you just having the courage to press *1 and share with us. Thank you so much, Teresa. Jackie D., it's your turn to share, followed by Deborah G.
Hi, everybody. This is Jackie D. from Massachusetts. Oh, thank you so much, everybody. I can just say ditto to the last speaker because like, that's exactly where I am. I'm in a place of desperation. I also love this paragraph, like that self-sufficiency. Like I think about step 3 where it talks about self-propulsion, like that, like I literally picture that physically, like self-propulsion, myself propelling myself up. Right? Like controlling everything and being in self and not being about others, right? And so it's very hard to be in a relationship with a higher power when you're self-sufficient. So I have experienced being God-sufficient, and when I am not, I don't like that feeling. I just got honest with my sponsor about my food, you know, because I wasn't being honest. And now I am honest, and I really need to just turn it over to God. I, too, am like, okay, I got to do this, 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 and this, and this. It's like a checklist, all this stuff, and this is all going to keep me abstinent. But you know what? It's not keeping me abstinent. So I need to give it to God and let him keep it, because I, too, keep bringing my will back. And let me tell you something. I am in these bedevilments like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, I've been in a place where I've been connected to higher power, and it feels just so good. So to be in this place where I'm not and I'm struggling with the food is it's a living hell, basically, is what it is. I can trust and rely on God in many other areas of my life. But the food is the area that I just keep picking it back up, you know, mad, happy, sad, glad, all of them. When I'm alone, I can pick it up. Like, I couldn't sleep last night, and I just went and picked up food because I just couldn't sleep. I just went and picked up food, like, ridiculous. And I made my calls yesterday. I prayed. I did my meditate, all of it, and I took my will back. So I told my sponsor I'd speak on this meeting today. Day at a time, day at a friggin' time. So I'm hoping to be abstinent today. So everybody, thank you so much, and God bless. God bless. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Jackie D. from Massachusetts. Keep coming back. Deborah G., it's your turn to share.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, so much for your service and everyone that makes this meeting possible. And all the shares so far. Thank you for 12-Step and me. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're with us and the ones first sharing. Wow, you're my tribe, and I'm so glad I have you all to do this, to hold hands and walk through this together. And I remembered when I was in the food, I couldn't see anything that had to do with God, reliance, and faith. And I couldn't see any of that. All I was seeing was the food and the self, you know, the self-reliance, the self-centeredness, all the fear. And it wasn't until I knew all my alcoholic foods were, and I put them down, and then I went through those beautiful 12 steps, surrendered to power, because I have no power. That power is all I have. There's only one power. I kept thinking there was me as power, more than one power, when there's only one power. And when I kept my intention on that one power, surrendered, and let that power have its way with me, going to my heart, doing it from my heart, not an experience in my head, but an experience in my heart and the connectedness, and continuing with that to deepen that relationship, to deepen that surrender. And then by going through those beautiful 12 steps, it happened. You know, it's like it was the experience, not my head. And I'm so grateful to continue to be reminded of that so I can stay in that place. And thank you so much.
And thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Well, we are so grateful to have each and every one of you on the line today. And just to let you know, we are on page 52, that fourth paragraph, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith, through one paragraph ending, who had insisted the Wrights would never fly. So we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us today on this paragraph?
Lisa N. in Georgia.
Lisa N. in Georgia.
Margo, New York.
Margo, New York. What's Margo B., New York?
B.
B. Very good.
Mary Frances W, Pennsylvania.
Nancy
was that
L.
Mary Jo W? Was that Mary Jo W?
Jo Marie M.
Oh, Joan Marie M. Nevada. And was there a Mary something?
Mary Frances Dawn.
Oh, perfect. Mary Frances. And where are you from, Mary Frances?
Pennsylvania.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. All right. Anyone else?
Michelle A.C.
Nancy L.
Colorado.
Michelle A.C. Colorado. And who is that other voice? Besides Michelle?
Nancy L. in Arizona.
Oh, there we go. Nancy L. Arizona. Okay. I have Lisa N., Margot B., Joan Marie M., Mary Frances, Michelle A.C., Nancy L. Anyone else? Well, that is a beautiful lineup. Let's go ahead. Lisa N., please share with us. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Okay. Hey, good morning, Dawn. This is Lisa N., recovered compulsive overeater in Georgia. So I'm having some new thoughts come to me, which is the beauty of a vision for you, first of all, thank you to, you know, some of the people that have shared. It just gives me just so grateful, you know, that y'all are here and, you know, seeking the solution. The only solution that I found is what I found in A Vision for You. And, you know, the thoughts that I have about this paragraph is kind of cool. So I'm thinking, you know, a childish faith. So that is such, I mean, I remember back to when I was little and that childish faith, it wasn't tainted by anything, nothing. You know, ultimately it was faith in what my parents told me, you know, what they were teaching me. It was true. I didn't have any reason to doubt it, you know, and it was just a very free. And I'm a kindergarten para during the school year, and I get to see it. You know, my boys are 18 and 19 now, but I get to see that beautiful childlike faith every single day. So, so now here enters the disease of compulsive overeating for me. As I grew up and I started to have self-sufficiency, you know, because yes, that is what we're taught in society, you know, be self-sufficient, make something of yourself, blah, 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 blah. Well, oh my, you couple that with the disease of reading and I ran with it for 25 years, you know, no, I can do it. Or I'm going to try your way. It didn't work. Okay. I'm going to try something else. Anyway, so when it came down to, I mean, for me, when I surrendered, you know, I'm just so grateful that I was face to face with somebody who the problem had been solved. They were recovered. I put my faith in them in the beginning, you know, until I started to develop, you know, this beautiful relationship that I have with my higher power today. And anyway, self-sufficiency, and you can have it, you know. I mean, like, I don't want any part of it. I have so much more energy, you know, focusing on, you know, the goodness of my higher power and his strengths. And it's a much easier, simpler way for me to live. So with that, I will pass. Thanks, Dawn.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa N. from Georgia. Margot B., it's your turn, followed by Joan Marie M. Star one, Margot B.
It's Margot. Can I share?
Yes, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't hear you. Hi, Margot, the New York compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody, for their service.
just claim my seat. And what's striking me is God's efficiency versus. So I've been starting to ask the question, what does that mean? What is the application to some of these things that I've been saying for so long? Because I sometimes think I know when I really don't know the depth and breadth of these teachings, you know? And self-sufficiency versus God's efficiency means, oh, I'm going to strive, push, make myself better, make myself well, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, opposed to going to God. That's God's sufficiency versus self-sufficiency. That's me trying to fix you, your situation, your circumstances, versus God's sufficiency. You have your own higher power. You can take care of things. God's got you, just like God's got me. Just these, this like dichotomy in my brain and how it's all mish and mosh and mixed up. I'm struggling, but I'll just keep pushing harder. So at the end of the day, I hate myself more and hate everyone else and bring whoever I can down with me, right? And no, it's like God's efficiency. God, this is a new way of life. And for me, it has to be God-centered. That means in my thought, deed, actions, decisions, choices. And I need these tools, including the program and people's shares and their experience, strength, and hope to remind me of that. Because my default is self-sufficiency. In fact, my self-sufficiency is rewarded in the real world, right? And God is telling me, no, it's got to be God-centered, right? So I have to keep my feet on the ground, my head with God. So thanks.
Thank you so much, Margot B. from New York. Joan Marie M., it's your turn, followed by Mary Frances.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. Am I being heard? Hello?
Yep, we hear you fine, Joan Marie. Go ahead, please. Star one, Joan Marie.
I'm trying to get there.
There we go.
Hi there, everyone. Thank you for the shares. Thank you, Dawn. Everyone that gives service, it helps me. I've read or heard that Bill Wilson many times would use different phrases or different words to express the same idea that, you know, the ABCs, that we were alcoholic, that probably no human power could relieve, and that God could and would if he were sought. Another part is where we have entered the realm of the spirit, that's a capital S. So every time we see a capital, that's referring to God when we're talking about God, like the spirit of the universe. That's God, doubting the power of God. But the idea that God did and would if he were sought. So we have to seek God. How do we seek God? Prayer and meditation. Reading his word, doing those things to learn about the universe of God and what God created. And he created us in his image. And what is God? God is love. I had to learn that God is love. I wasn't taught that. I was taught the opposite of that. But today I know that he's a loving God that is not just in the sky above. He's inside of each and every one of us. He loves us so much. And so to continue on this spiritual road is to know God more and more. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Wow, thank you. Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Mary Frances, it's your turn to share, followed by Michelle A.C.
Good morning. This is Mary Frances W. in Pennsylvania, a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater just for today. And, boy, those shares have been so powerful this morning. And I just want to thank everybody for everything that they've said. And I love this paragraph and the childlike faith and what it was like to have that, which I only had for a small time in my long life before it was tainted by, you know, the things that my authorities believed that, you know, made me fear God. And I'm just so grateful to say that when I came into program and I learned that that isn't who God is, and as someone just said, God is love, and just to be embraced by that love and to accept that love, I'm worthy of that love. Like, there's so many things, negative things that I believed about myself my whole life, and this program's given me the right and the ability to challenge those negative things that I believed about myself. I'm not that. I'm a child of God, and I'm loved. And you know what? I hate this disease. I hate what this disease does to us. I hate the liar that it is and that it tries to catch us up in its web. And I just pray for me, you know, all I have is this day. Like, I could be out there tomorrow. And I'm just so grateful that for today, I am blessed with abstinence and the ability to share with people that are still suffering. And to be on this call has saved my life, this meeting. And, you know, it's been a short time, but the transformation has just been unbelievable. And I guess with that, I'm going to pass. And the people that are struggling, just please keep coming back and don't give up. I'm one of those people that it took 43 long years to get it. So please keep coming back. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Mary Frances W. from Pennsylvania. Michelle A.C., it's your turn, followed by Nancy L.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. And this phrase, when others showed us that God's sufficiency worked with them, we began to feel like those who insisted the Wright brothers would never fly. And that I think I'm supposed to be, that God's supposed to give me the power to solve my own problems, I get into trouble. That's the disease. I've got this is the disease. I can take care of this. I know what to do. And it feels to me, I'm in a place right now, I got a really nasty email from somebody where they took my inventory with like bullet points and bold titles and underlines, like no joke. And it's clear that it's not okay, right? Like, we don't do that in program, and this was a program friend. But my desire to solve it in my head is self-sufficiency. I have, you know, ruminating, going around in circles, I should do this, I should do that, I should do this. And it's so interesting that when something comes along and strikes me like that, that I go right back to being this tight-fisted person that I was, you know, when I started recovery, where I'm gripping something with a death grip and I'm unwilling to let it go. And, you know, that's to me what this paragraph is talking about, right? I don't know the answer to this. No human could possibly on their own come up with a good solution to this situation. It's going to have to be God. And I know this because I know that when I let my higher power, and or as somebody said, which I absolutely adore, that love, let love step in and take the reins, some other really magical thing is going to happen, and I'm going to actually like it more. In the end, it's going to serve them, it's going to serve me, it's going to serve the greater good, right? When God solves problems, it solves the problems for everyone, not just me trying to solve them for myself. And it just reminded me of a quote that comes earlier in the chapter. God doesn't make too hard terms for those of us who seek him. So the fact that I've been ruminating on this for a while means I'm making hard terms of it. I'm going back to it, right? And I think after all this time that my brain, which I know full well does not see the world clearly, should be allowed to be the thing making decisions, is kind of laughable at this point. Like, it's totally laughable. It's so dangerous to let my mind and my self-sufficiency take it when I'm almost always wrong about what I see about the world. And when I let God take these things And I, you know, pray and meditate and wait for that intuitive thought or action, it's just a whole different game. So I just been thinking a lot about that and about how this makes perfect sense. It is absolutely the thing my heart wants to do. And sometimes I have to get my fingers to ungrip the concept before I can actually do it. And with that, I'll pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Michelle AC from Colorado. Quick reminder, we're talking about page 52, the fourth paragraph, the Wright brothers' almost childish faith through one paragraph ending, who had insisted the Wrights would never fly. We're commenting on that paragraph today. And after Nancy L. shares, I'll be taking another name or two. So Nancy L., please share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. Nancy L. in Arizona. Grateful to be abstinent today. You know, when I was 5 years old, I had to wear special clothes because I was chubby. And with every year, right up to the age of 55, I continued to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I would try harder and harder and harder, this diet and this program and that program. And what all that ended up giving me was just a huge load of self-pity. I had self-pity. Boy, I couldn't wait to tell you what I've been through. And, you know, it just, all it did was just, I just ate more food over it, got bigger and bigger. And then when I heard so many people in A Vision for You talking about the power of God and what it had done for them, I finally, like, this light bulb went off. It was a light bulb that told me, and I believe it was my higher power, it's time to get rid of the self-pity, and it's time to stop saying, why me, and say, why not me? Why not me? I'm going to go through the 12 steps, and I'm not going to like giving up the food. I'm going to hate giving up the food, and it's going to suck for a couple, 3, 4, 5 weeks. But I believe that I can do it now, and I have done it. I've just tapped into God's power. I've been abstinent for a long, long time, 100 pounds off my body for a long, long time. My doctor says, Nancy, your heart loves your weight. And I love my God, and I love this program. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Nancy L. from Arizona. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Andrea from Virginia.
Andrea. And what's your initial, Andrea?
Oh, Andrea. Andrea J.
Andrea J. And you were from where? I'm sorry.
Virginia.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. And who is that other voice?
Ann D. from Louisiana.
Ann D. from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. Go ahead, Andrea J. Please share with us.
This meeting is perfect for me, and plus the reading. And I just love that, too, about the childish fate. You know, I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, and was married in a very dysfunctional marriage. I was working in a very dysfunctional environment. It was the medical field, and I worked a lot with geriatrics and a lot of obese people. And I'm thinking, yeah. And the other day, I injured myself. I was in an accident, and at the back of my head was hit, and my right side, the ribs were damaged, and I went to this here place to get x-rays and get a CT scan, and there was this fat lady that came in and just flopped on this chair, and I got so irritated, and because she flopped down and flopped her canes on both sides of the chair, and they were in the hallway, in the aisleway, walkway, and I'm thinking, oh, that's so unsafe. Look at that fat, blah, 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 blah. And then when I, you know, and then I had a lot of fear. And when I have fear, you know, I don't see anything. You know, it's like the worst thing is going to happen. You know, I'm going to get fat like that, and I'm going to flop like that. And when I did the writing, you know, fear for me spells face everything and recover. And to me, to face anything is to pray, have God show me, guide me, and have me set aside all my ideas and people in my life and write, you know, do an inventory. And I did. And I realized I flopped on safety. And I used to teach safety. I used to be an occupational therapist and taught safety. And the injury happened because I flopped my safety skills down and did it my way. I, you know, isn't there a good song that I'll do it my way? And that's what how I fell. And I went down the steps and I hit the wall, the corner wall, the two walls that come together, that corner, and knocked myself out, you know. And it took a couple of weeks to realize I was self-sufficient, you know, and not God-sufficient. So I got to put God first and only first. And being a solution is stay out of the pollution. There's only one solution for Andrea and many pollutions. Yeah, I could be addicted to criticism and all that. And I'm going to shut up now and let the next person share their wisdom. I'm complete.
Ah, thank you so much, Andrea J. And D, it's your turn to share, and you have a couple minute share, please.
Thank you, Dawn. This is Andy, recovered compulsive overeater, one day at a time. One of the things that strikes me about this is the Wright brothers' almost childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. And without that, they could do nothing. And I think when we enter into, or at least when I entered into OA, it was another, I had been through all kinds of eating programs, diets, and things like that. And only when I stopped to look at what worked and what didn't, I think this is what the Wright brothers had to do. They failed a lot of times. So what works that I've done and what doesn't work? And to put those aside. And, you know, in that whole process, what I found is that for me, weighing and measuring my food worked. For me, what also worked was the community, having a sponsor. And the community of people. I could not do it alone. And ultimately, my goal was always to be one in the Spirit of God and to share that with others. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Anne B. from Louisiana. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Wendy M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, Dawn. Wendy M. here in Boulder, Colorado. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly propose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. Sorry, I just lost my place. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right. Great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. You will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.